Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, or in this case, movies, because we're going to be talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 2. Joining me, of course, once again, is Juliana. Say hello, Juliana.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to be talking... Yeah, actually, last time we talked about these movies and TV shows and one-shot specials, we thought, hey, let's talk about all of phase number one and phase number two. It turns out 12 movies and 6 TV series is too much to talk about in one episode, so we only got to the end of phase number one.
And that is quite ambitious to say we talk about both of them.
Well,
unless you want to have a two-hour...
A two-hour podcast.
Two-hour podcast.
We don't want to have a two-hour podcast. So what we're going to do is we're going to do another hour of podcasting now, talking about all of the movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 2, which starts with Iron Man 3 and goes on to the Ant-Man is where we're going to finish this. Pretty much anything, any movies that were completed last year, 2015. And then once another 6 movies come out in a few years' time, we'll talk about... Yeah, maybe in we'll come back to us in 2019 and we'll do our podcast about MCU Phase 3. So let's get on to it. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, we actually just started recording this a second time, so I've got to remember this to say this kind of stuff, even though I've just said it a few minutes ago, but we stopped recording. We have a spreadsheet on Google Docs that we are following in terms of the order that we're going to talk about it. We didn't watch them in this order, but this is the order we're going to talk about them. And it says here on the spreadsheet, it says, for those asking why the order is like this, I did research and watched everything to make this. Please don't message me saying the order is wrong. So that's what we're going to say as well. We're just going to follow the order of this. Please don't message us saying we got the order wrong. This is just what we're going to do. So let's start off with Iron Man 3. What do you remember about Iron Man 3?
Not really lot.
Well, we were just talking about this when we pressed stop before, and I was like, hey, do you remember Iron Man 3? You're like, no. Is that the guy with the Russian technician? No, that was Iron Man 2. No, this is the one with the Mandarin.
Right. It's what's his name?
The Mandarin.
No, the actor.
Oh,
Ben
Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley.
Sir Ben Kingsley. And he is putting on a voice like this. We will be. And it's a weird one, but like
his character is fun.
His character and where that character goes, and we get a little bit of extra stuff in the there's a one shot, a movie one shot, which is called All Hail the King, and it's about him in the aftermath of this one. So the other thing that we have in this movie is we have the main bad guy. There is the Mandarin, but also there's the guy who burns. Who plays him? It's Thingy from
who?
Thingy.
What?
They're the guys who glow and turn on fire. And so what we actually have here is two different bad guys who aren't just the opposite of the bad guys in the movie. I mean, like, the good guys. You know, often I was saying before, like, it's always the bad guys are just the opposite or the same
slightly
powers.
Not as powerful.
Yeah, well, they're all slightly more powerful, but they're bad guys with the same powers as the good guys with those same powers. Because here it's totally different. You know, it isn't that, you know.
Yes.
And so I do actually quite like that balance. Also what I noticed, I didn't really notice at the time when I was watching it, but it became clear that the bad guys emotionally look just like humans. They are not robots. They are not aliens. They are not elves or people with, elaborate costumes. They don't need a lot of special effects except for kind of like red glowy skin and things like that.
Yeah.
And I realized that coming up after this, what comes up after this? In the list?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you're doing a TV show, what do you need? You need bad guys who don't take a lot of special effects and don't take a lot of costuming and don't take a lot of things like that. So they have this, I can't remember what it's called, Excoriant. No, I can't remember the name of the thing that they're doing to people to turn them into these red glowy people. But that actually becomes a really handy...
I'm just trying to find this,
start
actually.
Of season one... turning people into glowy people.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. Superpower glowy people don't take a lot of makeup and don't take a lot of special effects. So it's a cheap bad guy, unlike so many of the other bad guys. And that's actually another thing that I quite liked about Iron Man 3. I watched it last year and thought, oh, that was actually a lot better than I was expecting. Much better than Iron Man 2, anyway. Much better than... it's pretty good, you know, a pretty good... In its proper context, watching it in order, it makes a lot of sense, you know?
Like, yeah.
Tony Stark has got PTSD after things... Is PTSD not very convincing, but it gives him something to work towards. And also in the movie, I like that the bad guys, it's just like, it's not end of the world bad guys. It's just sort of like people who are slightly more powerful, you know, and you need a hero to sort it out.
But it's just another challenge.
Yeah, it's just a
much.
Challenge. Yes. But it's not so much a challenge for Iron Man. It's just as much of a challenge for Tony Stark as it is for Iron Man, because he spends a lot of the movie not in his suit. A lot of the movie is him running around in the Midwest of America, and there's a kid who is almost too annoying, but actually the kid's funny, not annoying, and, you know, a lot of time spent not in his suit. And he even says that line, doesn't he? He goes, well, I could call in all the Avengers, but this is not a problem for Hulk. It's not a problem for Thor.
Yeah.
It's not a problem for, you know, all of these other super powerful people. It's a problem for Tony Stark.
Yes.
It's hardly even an Iron Man problem. It's a Tony Stark problem that he's got to sort out. So any opinions of this movie, or don't you remember it?
It's so weird. I'm reading through the Wikipedia, and I have no memory of the kid.
No.
I remembered now that Pepper Potts was kidnapped.
Yes, of course.
But I don't... It's so random. I think, like, what happens if you do this kind of marathon of watching something, your brain just kicks out memories like, oh, right, I've seen this. Okay, bloop, out. No memory at all.
This was a no memory at all of this movie.
I mean, which is a pity because I think I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we watched it a while. We watched it a few months ago, though. But no.
Do you have any notes?
I have some notes. This is what you said at the time. Let me go down to this stuff. MCU watching it. It moves on Tony and Pepper's story, but not much else. At least I know who War Machine was this time. Oh, yeah, because I watched
War Machine.
Yeah, I'd watched this one before I'd watched Iron Man 2. And so I didn't know, and I thought, because I'd seen War Machine in the...
Is that the general?
No, yeah. It's like the Air Force general.
Yeah.
He was played by two different actors, and I saw him in the Marvel Age of Ultron, and I was like, oh, I want to know who this guy is, let me go back, and he was obviously introduced in Iron Man 3, so I watched Iron Man 3, and I was like, oh no, he's in this already, and I still don't know who he is, so I had to go back and watch Iron Man 2, so I watched these movies out of order.
Yeah.
So I was just saying it's better watching them in order.
So here they call him the Iron Patriot.
Yes, because in that movie, War Machine is a bit too, they say politically, is a bit too over the top.
Yeah, I get it.
We want to be peacekeepers, we don't want to be seen as War Machine, so he's called the Iron Patriot.
Yeah.
Your comments about that, she's actually a bad guy, isn't she? Very good. Main bad guy, oh yeah, Mandarin, Bernie people, suitably dangerous on ominous. Oh yeah, you said, isn't there a retina scan for the suits to work? How could they be stolen? Because people are stealing different Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
And you're like, but there's a retina scan. I'm pretty sure at some points it goes, scanning retina. Ah, you're this person. We'll work with you.
Exactly.
None of these movies have two-factor authentication. In this case, not even any. It's like, do you fit in the suit? Great. Take over and steal it. It's like, no, two-factor authentication at least. But of course, and also you said at the end, no, Pepper. But it's kind of obvious what's going to happen to her.
Yes.
In fact, there's a few times when you're like, no, this character. And you're like, yeah, just wait.
Yeah. And sometimes I kind of know.
Yeah.
But it's part of the movie experience, you know, to get into it and like go along, get yourself dragged from what the people meant you to go along on the trip.
Yes, you go along. Like that character is obviously not dead, but I'm just gonna give in to these emotions as we go.
Exactly.
Stan Lee cameo, he plays Bingo in the bingo hall when he's there. And my overall, I said, better movie than Iron Man 2 by a long stretch, about the same as Iron Man 1, but with Tony being more likable. I actually do think in this case, Iron Man 3 has probably got the best special effects of all the movies, mainly because, again, it doesn't, there's, like, the bad guys aren't overblown bad guys, and a lot of the action is just metal things flying around. So even if the action sequence at the end does become a bit too...
Is that when they are in the port?
They're in port and they're flying around this stuff.
Ships and stuff.
And I actually wrote here, there's still the massive plot hole of why didn't he call in the suits earlier, but it's such a big plot hole, I'm sure I must be missing something. But then I looked back at my notes for the first time I watched this movie, and I said the same thing. I was like, there's a big plot hole, so maybe twice in a row I missed what explained the big plot hole. And it's like, oh, but they were just under the... Yeah.
Anyway, maybe it is a plot hole.
Maybe it is a plot hole, but maybe, again, maybe I'm just, there's some kind of movie physics which doesn't happen. Okay, so let's move on. Next up, we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot episode, and we get introduced to this. I don't want to go too much into this, because it's really difficult to talk about all the different characters and what happens to them, and you know, and all the different spoilers and things like that, but I thought it would be fun to show you the pilot of this one. Wasn't sure if we were going to watch through all of this, the entire series, season.
Yes.
or however many seasons there were when we started watching it. But I thought, you were upset that Phil Coulson died in The Avengers. And I was like, what's going to be funny here is I'm going to show her this one because I know Phil Coulson is in this first episode and he's one of
the main
characters. You didn't know?
No, I didn't.
And then I showed it to you and you were like, yay!
Like, pretty much, I'm sure everyone...
Yeah.
Because he's just a very likable...
Yeah, and it's weird that this guy, I can't remember the actor's name, but he...
Greg
Clark...
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was just a minor character in the movies, but
no, other way around. Clark Gregg.
Is it Clark Gregg? Oh. Okay. And he's just a minor character. And I've seen him in some of the things. We watched AI, the Spielberg/Kubrick movie.
Yes.
Which was awful. But right at the start, he's there and we're like, hey, there's a thingy. And there's some other characters I see, these minor characters that you go, oh, that's the thingy from thingy. And then they're in this. And it's quite weird that this character who wouldn't normally be like a main hero, leading man kind of guy, but they're like, hey, we need someone to do this TV show. Mm. Let's get Coulson in. And suddenly he becomes leading man in charge of the group doing stuff. And at some points, I don't think he's a strong enough actor, like in general. Like, yeah. Some of the other actors in that TV show are often better than him, but they kind of write a script which plays up that thing. It's sort of like, well, this guy, Tony Stark, PTSD, whatever. This guy died, you know, and he came back to life and he was all these different things.
Yeah,
that happened,
I mean,
to him.
He has,
and suddenly
lots of issues.
Loads of responsibilities on him, lots of different levels. So I do think it does. It does work, even if I don't think that he would never have got that part as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show if it was just like, hey, let's just do a casting call. This guy, no. But I think it works that he sort of fell into this role.
Yeah. I also think, like, this is the kind of thing where I'm kind of guessing they did some sort of customer reviews or something and, like, got the ratings of the characters.
Oh, you know, like the feedback after the movies. Yeah.
And the people said,
yeah,
oh, no, this guy is so sympathetic. Yeah. And
oh, we like that guy.
I really like that guy. And then yeah. I thought, maybe we should just continue with him.
However, I'd watch later movies. He never comes up in the later movies. And there's different ways that they get around that. In the TV show, you know, when characters from the movies turn up, they're like, oh, hey, we thought you were dead. He's like, yeah, well, I'm not. And they said, well, I'm going to go and tell Thor about it. And it's like, no, Thor's a friend of mine. He thinks I'm dead. Let him go through it. I will talk, you know, I will explain to him. I want to say that I'm not dead to him to our face. So don't tell him. Oh, yeah. Okay. And there's these other people when he's like talking to Nick Fury and he's like, well, this guy thinks you did. Oh, it's okay. But I do like the way that the TV show, for reasons that we find out later on, that S.H.I.E.L.D. becomes kind of like a behind-the-scenes organization, even though they're talking
totally
about
it.
So when they're like, oh, we got this, like, you know, we did this and we did that, and it's like, really? When were they doing that? It's like, oh, well, actually, out the way back here. So it kind of makes sense that not everybody knows who he is. But I don't really understand why a main character or one of the supporting characters from the movies dies. They can't then bring him back into the movies because most people aren't watching all the TV shows.
No.
They're just carrying on. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., lots of people said, you're going to watch the first episode, it's pretty good. Then you're going to watch the second episode, and it's pretty bad. And then those first 6-7 episodes are going to be really bad. And you know what? They were pretty awful, like, especially compared to later S.H.I.E.L.D. ones. But it's one of those things that, like, okay, we know if we're going to do this marathon, we're going to just go through everything.
Yeah.
We might as well go. But the thing is, I was looking at these different lists that say, hey, we want to get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we don't want to watch all the shit episodes early on. Which one should we watch? And some of the lists said, hey, yeah, you should definitely watch the first pilot and then number episode 2 because that sets it up. And then skip forward and do episode 6 and then 7, skip 9 and 10, whatever, and then go start watching again sort of like 11, 12 or whatever, like going on. And then others were like, okay, skip episode 1, go straight to episode 5 because that introduces this other thing that's important. And then it was one of those things I was just like, okay, all of the different guides are telling me to watch different episodes,
yeah, so,
and to miss different episodes,
watch it and
a
have
few
our
of
own.
Them a few of them everybody said, all the lists said skip this episode, but in the end, once you get into it, like, okay,
yeah,
let's just go through it.
Yes.
And we did, and it was pretty bad to start off, a little bit clunky, lots of really slow episodes. Each one of them has a little bit of character stuff and a little bit of moving the plot on, but like not enough for 48 minutes of TV watching.
Sometimes it was a bit slow, but I think it is worth because you get to know all the people and really in detail.
Yeah.
And that's something you need for later on.
And even the characters, like there's like a team of 6 people, and you've got Coulson, who's the director of that group. You've got May, who is the kick-ass like second in command. Ward, who is just good looking and another kick-ass guy. And you've got the two technicians, Fitz and Simmons, who...
Fitzsimmons. At the beginning, I thought what? That was... I thought one of them was the name of Fitzsimmons.
Oh, okay.
I didn't quite get immediately
it's Fitz and Simmons. Okay, but it's Fitz and Simmons, who are these dopey characters who at the start, I'm like, oh, come on. And then you've got Sky, who is someone, like we saw in the item 47, someone who is on the other side of the law and then kind of gets recruited into S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, you know, just go, oh, no, you should work with us. Okay, I'll work with you. And like those first few episodes are really about Sky joining the team and becoming part of the team. But some of the, like, you're just going, as you're going through, like, oh, well, that character is a bit annoying, and that character's a bit bland, like, Ward is just a guy with a good-looking chin, and, you know, and can kick ass. And but as it goes on, suddenly, well, yeah, let's just skip forward. The stuff that happens, if you've seen Winter Soldier, the stuff that happens in Winter Soldier, we were like, oh, shit, this is going to be really bad. I already knew that was coming up.
Yeah.
Like, because I'd seen Winter Soldier and all the stuff that goes on in there. So I knew what kind of things would happen to it. And yeah, really, I know it's weird to say this, but as you get up to episode 12, it starts getting really good fun. Not always the best TV show, not always the best acting,
good entertainment.
But perfectly good entertainment if you're just wanting popcorn TV just to get you through some stuff, and we did enjoy it. So anything else to say about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, I wanted to mention that this
season one.
This is done by Joss and Jed Whedon and Marissa Tankarou.
Produced by, written by.
Yeah. And I think it's quite kind of noticeable because it's like this similar kind of, you have five different characters, they all have different jobs.
Yeah.
And they...
Oh, you're saying that we watch Firefly and then we watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Yeah, yes. It's pretty impressive. Like, even the set is like, well, we watch Firefly and we know that they fly around in a thing and that's their main set, so it needs to be big enough that they can all have, like, a location. Yeah, it's very Firefly-like.
Yes.
That they get the same group of people with the same skills in the same set.
Which makes it fun.
Yeah.
Because it's fun adventure stuff. But in general, season one, have no, like, season one, when does this finish?
After the Winter Soldier, things go wrong and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. falls apart and all that.
Okay,
kind of stuff.
I will mention that after we actually finish talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because I have one thing to say about this. This is very, very important.
Well, keep a note on that.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise, after the first, I know it's weird to say this, after the first six episodes, oh boy, they start really dragging, because you realize, oh, they've got this thing, they've got to fit it in with the movies. And when the movies come out, they've got to have episodes about that. You know, like, this episode comes out, and then everyone goes and watches the movie over the next week, and then the next week they come back and see what happens afterwards. In Thor: The Dark World, not a big thing. Captain America: Winter Soldier, a much bigger thing. So let's move on actually to that next movie, Thor: The Dark World. Do you remember anything about Thor: The Dark World? Go.
Is that when we get to know that Loki is still on Earth?
Yeah, Loki is still causing trouble. It's pretty much.
Isn't that when he gets together with the aliens?
No, that's Avengers. We saw Avengers. Okay, so it goes a bit like this. There's Christopher Eccleston is a frosty thing, and they go off and they have a battle against the frosty thing.
Right, and we find out the background of Loki.
Yeah, we find out where Loki is coming from. That he's not entirely from there. He's part frosty.
Is that when he's destroying this bridge to the Earth?
Yeah,
really bad. I really like the guard.
Yeah,
the guard.
Elba.
Yeah,
Idris Elba.
I like him.
Who is? I don't remember. Anyway. So yes, it's all about it's more so, and this is actually, I think, some of the better special effects, because they worked out what Asgard looks like in the first movie, and then in the second movie they're like, hey, we're much better at special effects now.
Yeah.
So they could do a lot more stuff in Asgard. Let me have a look here. Thor: The Dark World. And I actually said, I enjoyed this way more than I did previously, or at least I thought. And then I looked up my previous, I looked up what I thought previously, and I was like, Thor: The Dark World, dumb but fun, when I watched it in March 2014. So it's one of those movies where, like, the more distance I have away from it, it's like, oh, I don't really remember much. Maybe it wasn't that good. But then when I look back at my notes, I was like, oh, I really enjoyed that one. It's certainly faster paced than the first Thor movie, because I think they've just got to fit less in. It's like, hey, Loki, you know this guy. Hey, Thor, you know this guy.
There's not so much
Anthony Hopkins, you know this guy.
Yes.
And now, and Sif and those other guys, let's go. Made some notes
here. We come back to Dr. Jane Foster.
Yep, we get a bit more Jane Foster. Oh, this is what we said. This is where Dr. Jane Foster has an intern, and then her intern has an intern.
Yes.
And we have Selvig, who... Actually, it's a weird one, because Selvig goes crazy, and you'd think, hey, we've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. should be keeping track... Because they were keeping track of this guy, Selvig. Yes. And then he goes crazy and turns up here, and they only track him down because he's in a news show.
But he goes crazy because Loki is in...
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of craziness. We've seen the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We see what their job is. They should have been picking up Selvig when he goes crazy. That's the kind of people that S.H.I.E.L.D. should be keeping eyes on. But for the people watching the movies, they don't... Not all of them have seen... And most of them haven't seen the TV show. So they can't always use that kind of thing.
Right.
So my note here is I was expecting one of the weakest movies in the MCU, but I found it remarkably average. References to other movies. Captain America turns up, but it's actually Loki playing Captain America as an illusion. So it's funny that we actually have Chris Evans acting like Tom Hiddleston, acting like Loki, acting like Captain America. And so there's like these four or five different depths of what they're actually acting. And it's one of those weird things that you just go, oh no, that like, I don't know how they captured it, but they really did capture Loki, like... You know, these two characters and two actors, and each of them are doing parts of the other character and the other actor.
Yes.
You know, so they're taking the piss of each other in that way. So that kind of works well. There's a... What have I got here as well? Oh, yeah. Main bad guy, Christopher Eccleston, manages to be quite menacing, even with a lot of makeup. Pity his character is pretty forgettable, which is true. And then Loki is good. I said here, I'd love to see a Loki movie. Okay, here we go. Comments from Juliana. This is what you said at the end. This is really good fun. No, that's not what you said at the end. These are notes that I remember you saying. Greenwich, we've been there. And it is fun to see one of these epic set piece action battle sequences in a place that we visited just
and
like 2 years
ago. Actually, this is the kind of thing I actually have pictures still from the movie in that place in my head.
Yeah, with all the portal things coming open.
Because we have been there, so it's kind of like connected.
Yeah. So that was good fun. I actually really enjoy that whole sequence. It does look a bit bland because it's like taking place almost in winter. Like it's not a big summer. There's not a lot of sun.
It's a bit grey. Like
it's a bit grey, but it kind of goes...
Like normally
no, that's
is in
actually,
London.
That is actually the London that I remember because we were there in the winter, in November time actually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's actually quite fun just to see an action sequence just happening like... And the cars are just normal London cars and there's stuff happening on the underground in London. I do like the keys that they throw these keys into this portal and they disappear. And then later the keys drop out and things, and it's sort of like, oh, I've got to test this, what have I got, I can throw this keys through, and it's sort of like, oh shit, now I don't have keys anymore. So there's quite a few fun character moments in the movie. You also said, why is Loki so bad, he could be such a cool guy, and then you said, I really thought Jane Foster was going to get superpowers from the Ether, because that's actually one of the Infinity Stones that she has, that she holds at the end.
Yeah.
And you're like, does Jane Foster get powers? Obviously not. Stan Lee is a patient in the mental hospital with Selvig. And so next up, anything else to say about that one, or should we move on?
Let's move on. One thing I wanted to say about the poster. The poster is so...
Oh, with Thor holding...
And she's
Amidala,
like putting her hand against his chest.
Did you see the version of that where someone made it so it was actually Loki in front and Thor was hugging Loki?
Aww.
It's actually really good. Not only that, was that it looked so good and so convincing that when, I can't remember, some... cinemas in China or something, I can't remember what it was, they wanted a poster, they downloaded that, printed that out, and that became one of the main posters. Search for Thor and Loki poster China or something like that, because you'll probably find the what you're looking for in image search. You'll probably see it. You see it?
It's quite funny that you immediately knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, look, this one. Click on those image searches. Yes, I know exactly the poster because It's funnier when it's when Thor is hugging Loki.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense because this is Thor and Loki brother movie. The stinger at the end is actually they go and meet the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. Let me have a look. What's it? The Collector. You know,
they
go and drop the Ether off with the Collector because it's another one of the Infinity Stones. And they're like, hey, could you keep hold of this? And he's like, okay, I'll keep hold of that. And he says, I saw you in New York. And it's like, Thor was in New York.
Yeah. It says here, Chinese movie theater uses Thor fan poster by accident.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on then to Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
All right.
Because this is also partway through the first season of S.H.I.E.L.D. And What are my notes here? Black Widow kicks ass. Falcon arrives in this movie too. While abrupt, isn't too jarring, which is... So it's good to see Falcon there as well. What I liked about this is that all of the... Most of the characters, their powers are kind of human powers. Like, Captain America can run and jump and punch a lot bigger, a lot more than most people. And Falcon can fly at the end. But a lot of it is human-level people. You know, like... Black
also,
Widow.
Falcon can only fly because he has this suit
thing. Yeah, he's not superpowered. Yeah. He's just a good pilot.
Yeah.
And Captain America doesn't have any powers except he's just the fittest, strongest human ever.
Yeah.
And sure, the main bad guy, or one of the main bad guys, the Winter Soldier himself, he has, you actually said at one point, you're like, oh, he's got the Deathlok arm, you know, because the stuff that we've seen in S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like, oh, right. They never mention in the movie that that's Deathlok's arm, but that is a Deathlok arm.
But that's also just an addition. That's
it's just an addition to him.
Enhancement, not like something that...
And so what we actually have then is that all of the action and the stunts are human-level action and stunts in this movie, except until you get the big flying around battle at the end. But when Nick Fury, there's a car chase with Nick Fury, and he's going in his like self-driving car, this SUV, and it's being shot at. You're like,
it's not shot at. It's like...
It's riddled with bullets and stuff. But it's actually really good action. And the fight sequences are really good fight sequences. And there's a bit, you know, where Captain America takes out one of the is it Quinjets, Quilljets, or whatever they're called? One of the flight...
Not
the helicopter, but in the, you know, one of the ones...
One of the smaller things. Yes.
He runs up to it, and with it, he goes... It's sort of like... jump jet versus man on motorbike, and you're like, whoa. And it's of course it's silly special effects, but it's so much of it just feels realer. Like, it felt like more of a, this is a fun action movie which happens to be taking place in a world where there's big special effects things going on, but those special effects are like just at the end of this movie and in other movies. So, and also it felt like just a fun espionage, like double crossing, who's on this side, what's the conspiracy theory, who can you trust, who can't you trust, who's, you know, who's taking each other's faces. So it felt like a fun, like you know, like a Mission Impossible style action movie with some real stunts.
Yes.
You know, like when you get Tom Cruise and it's like, oh, he was actually really doing that stunt. I mean, not all the stunt, you know, but it felt a bit more like
his,
that.
Leg.
Yeah. So it just felt like this movie just felt more real. So while overall it's not as fun as Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's not as stupid, it doesn't have the same stupid level of wee-hee like some other movies, but it's more kind of gripping. It just feels more real, even if it does get a bit silly at the end.
Yes.
With the helicarrier battles. But again, by that point of the movie, I'm like, you know what? Let's just go with this.
Yes. And that's fine.
Your comment on this movie was, who in the TV show is going to be Hydra? Because this is the thing. Who is the main bad guy in this movie?
The Winter Soldier.
No, there's the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Who's the opposite of Captain America? Oh, he's got the same skills as Captain America, but he happens to be a bad guy.
Yes.
But also the main bad guy in this is Hydra, which happens to be like S.H.I.E.L.D., but is the opposite. It's got the same powers of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it is S.H.I.E.L.D. in a way. And this is the big twist of this one, is that Hydra has been here all along.
All along.
And it's difficult to...
We do know Hydra from like...
We've seen him in the previous Captain America movies.
Exactly.
And it kind of suddenly, when you see this, it makes sense of like sometimes in the previous movies, like, is a S.H.I.E.L.D. good guy? I mentioned this in the previous episode. Like, sometimes Coulson turns up and you're like, is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? Like, are these guys that we're rooting for or not rooting for? And Hydra, that S.H.I.E.L.D. is. I mean, this is spoilers, but it's difficult to talk about the rest of the whole thing without mentioning some of this.
Yes.
That element of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been Hydra all along. And your comment was, how is this going to affect S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And it affects it a lot.
Very much.
There's a lot. It really turns the whole TV show on its head, and you're like, oh, we thought Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was going to be this. But it actually turns out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is this whole other TV show now, where the people that we thought were boring are suddenly becoming good, like interesting, and some other things which we thought, oh, this person can be trusted, can't be trusted. Agent Sitwell and people like that.
Yep.
Spoiler. But if you've seen the movie, you know what happens to him. Right, so Stan Lee cameo, guard at the Smithsonian. And my overall yeah, not the most fun, but probably the best of the bunch in terms of movie making, character, action, and plotting, because it's just, I think it is one of the stronger movies of all of them. So we got to the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we don't need to talk about. Let's find it. Where are we going to next? Guardians of the Galaxy. Want to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians of the... It was actually the first movie I got in contact
of all the MCU.
Was that before we watched Daredevil, or was it after?
Well, I don't know when you watched... Oh, no, we went to see it in the cinema.
We went to watch it in the cinema, and that came out in 2014.
Yeah, so this is...
So this is the first... My first encounter, actually. Real first encounter with it.
And it's good, because it stands alone. You don't need to have seen any of the other movies.
No.
This is a good way in.
It was so good fun.
Yeah, it really is. Not much to say about it, really.
So clever. So I really like it when there's, like, humor all over the movie, and it's like this really refreshing thing when you have a whole cinema all laughing about
all the time.
Yeah, it's
Chris.
Great.
Is it Chris Pratt? Who is this one?
Yeah, I guess.
Because there's three Chrises. There's Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, and who's the other Chris? Who plays Chris Hemsworth? Who plays? Oh, Chris Evans. So there's three Chrises. There's three white men called Chris who've done movies. And still no women. So this is Chris Pratt, who does this Guardians of the Galaxy. Everyone's seen this movie. We don't need to talk about it. This is actually one of my favorite movies. It's one of those ones that when it comes on, you're just like, oh, let's watch it. So yeah. I think I've seen this movie five times,
I've
and once
seen
in
it
German,
three times, I think, now.
So it is a lot of fun. Again, it gets a bit silly at the end, but I think movies like this getting a bit big and silly at the end is a bit too much. However, it is a lot of fun all
it
the
is.
Way through.
And it's very different to the other comic heroes.
Yeah, because Guardians of the Galaxy is just sci-fi. They look like, hey, let's do sci-fi adventure. It's like they go, let's make Star Wars Fifth Element-y kind of thing. Go. And they're like, okay. And it just happens to be there. And it does explain some of the Infinity Stones. They're like, oh, we need this Infinity Stone, which is cool.
And because now, if I would have seen it in the order that we're talking right now, I would have understood more things.
Which you did this time.
This time I did.
We knew who the collector was because we had
seen
him before.
Yes, exactly. And we knew what the Infinity Stones, like...
Well, we didn't know all about them, but we'd seen them in other things.
We encountered them before.
Yeah. I said main bad guy, some moody guy in the hood, whatever. Thanos, who is he? Don't give a shit. And we still don't really know who Thanos is, except he turns up in another movie. Like,
yeah.
There's this part in the middle of this movie where they fly around in these mining vehicles. That, for me, is the worst low point of this movie, just in terms of action. It's just so dumb. And it's so much about, Uhura's behind. No, what's her name? Not Uhura.
Zoe Saldana. Gamora.
Yeah, Gamora. And it's like, how many times do we have to see her ass? Like, all the time, it's just her ass and boobs, just all the time. And I'm just like, come on, guys. And hopefully in the new movie, it's not just going to be her ass and boobs just all the time. I know it's weird. It's kind of disappointing that all the rest of the characters are so strong. And she's got a strong character. We don't need to be seeing her ass and her boobs all the time.
No. There's this scene when they stand on the balcony. It's about music. And like...
It's not. It's about her ass. And about her boobs. I was saying before when we were watching the Ultron one, it's like no matter what shot Black Widow is in, she's always got her top zipped down as far as possible.
And
more than practical.
You,
it's just
you
like,
know,
come on.
I'm not so quite sure how the mix of... people who actually make these movies is like how many guys and how many women actually create this, but I think it's just still too many guys, and women are like, okay, it's boobs, right? We get it. I also have some.
Yeah,
I don't
nice
care
boobs.
So it's like I really would like more women science fiction directors, or I don't know how if that would change something.
I don't know. Maybe it just needs to be. I mean, this is what they said. I thought this was really interesting talking about the new Star. When they were talking about someone, I read somewhere talking about the new Star Wars movie that they said every time that they got to a script, like a script description of what was happening in the script, they said, there is a group of people here. Half of the people in the group are women. You know, like just for extras, just casting extras. Like there's a group of people. Make sure that half of the people in the group of people are women.
Yeah.
And then this other character, and it was all like every time that there was a group of people, a half of these people are women. You know, there has the female stormtroopers, like just all the female Jedi and female here. They just had to say, in this situation, make sure half of the people in this scene are women. And it seems so obvious to say that, but it is so not obvious, because how many decisions have to be made to go down through this? Okay, you got the writer. If they don't say half these people are women, then the director just says to the casting director, oh, we need this group of people. And the casting director says to the person who's organizing the extras, oh, put out a casting call for extras for Star Wars. And then by the time you get down to it, like 90% of the people who apply to be in the extras, and they need 400 people or 300 people in the scene.
Yeah.
And 90% of them are male, and they're like, oh shit, that's not very convincing that all of these people are men. We need half of them to be women. Oh, sorry, we've got to shoot the scene in 2 hours' time. And
let's just CGI to the men.
Well, not even
women.
CGI. It's just like, oh, we'll just do it. Like, so you understand, it's like nobody makes a decision to be sexist in these movies.
Yeah.
In some of these cases. But if someone at the very top says right at the start, we're not going to be sexist here, you can get away with a movie which isn't sexist.
Yeah.
But it just takes that decision at the very top of the movie making, like script writer, director has to say, we need this. And I think we'll talk a bit about that once we get to the second half or to the other end of season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I want to mention that a bit more. So,
yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Yuliana's comments, I want a Groot, which I think is funny. Dance off.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, which I think is a good comment. Dance off. And also, can Rocket Raccoon be in every movie? I can't remember if it was you who said that, but afterwards we were saying like, yes. Oh, Rocket Raccoon.
He has just such this black kind of, hey, do you really want to do this?
Like a deadpan,
yeah,
but also really enthusiastic, but also he's got so much depth as a character. A animated raccoon is one of the most memorable and best characters in there.
Yeah.
And just you don't know much about him, but just his backstory and the fear and hurt in his eyes when he thinks back to what happened to him. And it comes out and you're just like, that is some amazing acting. But it's Bradley Cooper who does that, who's already an amazing actor.
So he's like, he gets like these dots all over him.
Well,
and then
I don't know how to do it. Just his voice acting. And then once you've got that voice acting, I know they always just film the actors' faces and then they can bring that out in the animation. I don't think you can do that much motion capture on a human face to turn it into a raccoon face. I think there's not enough comparison there as well.
Yep.
But yeah, just some amazing acting in that movie, which again, when you come down to it, like why can't we have characters that strong? Why can't we have comedy that strong in every movie? Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just like, you go, guys, you've made an amazing movie. Why make shit movies from now on? Why don't you just keep making that? Which we'll get onto when we get to Age of Ultron. Okay, next up we have Daredevil season one. Do you have anything to say about Daredevil sorry, Stan Lee cameo is in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's chatting up a young woman in a shopping mall at the very start of it. And Raccoon goes, ugh, look at this guy. Daredevil season one.
Yeah.
We have some fun stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy this one?
I did enjoy, but this, I remember, this was the time when we still watched Castle. And
And Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
And so it was funny that we were watching three New York TV shows.
Yeah. That was fun, but also it was necessary to kind of, we watched one Daredevil episode, and then to kind of get us like lifted up again, we had to then either put a Kimmy Schmidt in afterwards or a Castle to get like the heavy-handed, dark, like punchy.
It's
feeling
blind. Away. Blind guy punches bad guys in the face.
Like
yay!
Really?
Episode after episode, and then Wilson Fisk comes along here, still one of the best bad guys in all of the MCU. Wilson Fisk. Was his name D'Onofrio? Was his name Vincent D'Onofrio?
Vincent D'Onofrio. One of my.
Turns out when you put like an amazing actor into a role like that, you're like, oh right, like the bad guys don't just have to have the same powers as the good guys, but just be bad. They can have their own stories, which just doesn't work in a movie. It's really difficult to get that much depth in a character. A bit with Loki, really, but none of the other characters have that same, or bad guy characters have that same depth. I say guys because they're all guys.
So
I actually really enjoyed this. This was one of the ones that I watched the first two episodes, and I think at the end of episode number two, there's this really long fight sequence, and it's filmed as though it's all in one take, where Daredevil just goes into this building and he punches this guy, punches this other guy, jump. And I was just watching it going, oh, I didn't even know TV fight scenes could be this good and this fun. And it, obviously, some people who are really into movie making or really into TV production, Netflix has just said to them, look, guys, go away and make the best TV show that you can. And they did. And it's just really good. Not perfect. I do have some issues with it. Sometimes a little bit too violent, but all of the characters work. Wilson Fisk is great. Some of those Russian guys that they hang out with are really good. Sometimes the episode, you go, well, I can kind of see what you're doing too much with the episode here. Yeah. But overall, Daredevil season one, really good.
I also like the combination between him, what's his name again?
Matt Murdock.
Matt Murdock and his partner, his law Foggy. Partner, Foggy. That's kind of gives it a little bit of this Spider-Man it is, right? The Kent Clark.
Yes.
Living a normal life in real life and then having
Peter Parker. Yeah, this is actually a good thing, a fun thing that we actually can get here now in these TV shows. What I really like about the MCU, nobody has ever gone, oh, I am a superhero, but the superhero is my secret identity. And then I've got this real identity. And then over here, I've got this secret identity. Literally at the start of the last minute of the first MCU movie, Iron Man, Tony Stark stands up and people are like, people say that you're Iron Man. Are you Iron Man? And every other movie superhero thing up till now would just say, no, I'm not Iron Man. And wink. And there'll be a wink at the camera. And he was just like, you know what? I'm Iron Man. Even though they say, don't tell anyone that you're Iron Man. You can get out of this. This is going to be fine. Yeah. He just says, I'm Iron Man. And all the way through all of the movies, nobody has a secret identity.
No.
Everybody knows who these people are. There's news stories about them. And that's what's really fun, that when other characters come in and go, oh, you're Tony Stark, you're Iron Man. You know, they have fans. They have, within the movies, those characters within the movies have fans because everyone knows who they are. Now, in the TV shows, it's the other way around. Everyone has it, not so much a secret identity, but
they don't want people to know.
They don't want people to know. So nobody knows. So you can actually, because it's just too difficult to keep that going in movies that nobody knows who Clark Kent is. Nobody knows who Peter Parker is. It just becomes a bit tired to always do that. I think they'll probably keep doing that in the movies when the new Spider-Man movies come out, because it's a kid, and it's probably going to keep his identity secret within the world. The people won't know Peter Parker is the Spider-Man. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But it's actually really refreshing that in the movies, they don't try and always pass off those things. Like when someone meets, one of these guys, when someone meets Tony Stark, they're like, hey, you're thingy,
Yeah.
And they don't have that so much in these first TV shows. And I realize that actually now at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season two, they're like, oh, we're going to do this, but I'm going to be secret. We can't do this out in the open. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense for future movies, that there's this, S.H.I.E.L.D. is now going to be secret, or this part of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be secret, or this section is going to be secret. So they don't have to go, oh, well, the people in the movies don't know about this. It's like, it's just secret.
It's something easy to explain if it's a...
So yes, I did enjoy Matt Murdock and the Murdock and Foggy and Co. or whatever it was called.
Yeah, and what's her name?
Someone else.
Emma? No.
No, can't remember her name. And the nurse as well.
Yes.
Who comes back in later TV shows.
Yeah, she's kind of one of the connecting...
Yeah, connecting things.
Connecting characters.
And so I really enjoyed that. Stick is good fun, who comes in too.
Yeah,
and there's
not so much
Lee,
mine.
Who's a... You don't like Stick?
Nah.
Oh, I think he's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Another blind... So anyway, Daredevil, blind superhero. Watch this TV show. Don't watch the Ben Affleck movie about it. That's all I ever knew about Daredevil coming into this. Never read any of the comics.
I didn't actually know that there was a movie.
Yeah. Ben Affleck, he's now Batman, but before he was Batman, he was Daredevil, and not good.
Okay.
It's really not good.
Don't watch it.
I might watch it again.
Just wanted to say...
I saw it on Netflix. They're like, you might like this. And I'm like, you know what? I really don't like it. And it had half a star or something like that.
No.
It was one star on Netflix. Yeah. Don't think it's well liked.
I just wanted to say, talking back one more about Donofrio, it is so impressive to see how it balances it out if you have a really strong, bad character. Like, if you have an actor that can act.
Yeah.
In a very impressive way.
Yeah.
He is this kind of person, I know he's doing bad things.
Yeah.
But on the other side, he's such a broken person.
Yeah.
And he can play that so well. He played Edgar the bug in Men in Black. And his acting,
don't know,
mind-blowing. Amazing. I love it.
I watched we were watching Jurassic Park. No, not the Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, yeah.
And I was like, who's this guy? Where do I know him from? You're like, that's Vincent D'Onofrio. And I was like, holy shit. That is like, then you really see how good of an actor he is.
And it says here he was in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, which I haven't seen.
He's really good in that. Yeah.
He's just very...
I keep saying we should watch the first half of that movie.
The first half.
Yeah, the first half of that movie is one of the best movies about war and soldiering ever. The second half of the movie, but the first half, we should just watch it because it's really good.
Yeah.
It's also got thingy from Firefly, Adam Baldwin is in it as well.
Okay.
I think. Anyway,
but all I'm saying is that good actors are so outstanding.
Elevate
everything.
Oh, talking about that, Daredevil himself... is an English actor who plays that, and I'm actually really impressed by him. You know, just because that's kind of like a thankless thing, like playing a blind guy.
Yeah,
is actually really difficult.
Like on the other hand, it is kind of like essential that you play.
Yeah,
really
but I'm
well.
Just saying. I think he does.
Charlie Cox.
Yeah, who I only ever seen in one movie before. He's in the movie Stardust.
Yes.
So Charlie Cox is there. Anyway, I just say I think he's actually pretty good. Moving on then to let's do the next one. Netflix, Jessica Jones season 1. Do you like Jessica Jones season 1?
I like Jessica Jones, but it's violent again.
But violence
broken,
different...
and she's drinking, and she's like. But her story, what I really like is her story, and the bad guy in this story, like the whole level.
This is Doctor Who. What's the guy's name? You'll find him.
The English guy.
He's I can't remember his name.
Here it is. Somewhere it will say the people.
Yeah.
On
Wikipedia.
Yes. Oh, just, I'm just but on.
Oh, you might
I'm
be
on the wrong
on
Jessica
the comic
Jones.
Page. Yeah.
I'm on
okay.
the comic page.
Anyway, I really like Jessica Jones because it is again when we talk about this with female directors, I think all of these were written by female and direct. Maybe I don't think they were all directed by female directors, but I think the episodes were written and the showrunner, the person who was in charge, the producer of the whole show, was female as well, and you can really tell. I mean,
Melissa
not just
Rosenberg
is that she was the producer.
She it was created.
Yeah.
By Melissa.
Yeah, so it's always interesting to see this kind of thing told from, like, she is a broken character, but also she's one of the strongest characters.
Oh yeah, and she is strong.
Yeah, physically strong, but also the whole story is about somebody who was abused and is now trying to get over abuse and keeps running into her abuser again, who she thought was dead, but isn't, you know, that, what's the guy's name? What's the bad guy's name? He can control people's minds and stuff like that. It's something like super. It's called Dark.
David Tennant. Kilgrave.
Yeah. Kilgrave. Yeah, that's
Kilgrave.
The thing. Kilgrave is such a like over the top bad guy name. Kilgrave. But David Tennant. Again, it feels like he goes a bit over the top too. But as you learn more about his character, you're like, oh, I can kind of see where this character comes from. In the same way that Vincent D'Onofrio, it started off, you're like, it's a bit over the top. But as you go through, you're like, oh, it's great that you actually get enough time. First, you get to know the main good guy, and then you get to know the main good guy's like story and, you know, other characters. And then halfway through the TV show, they'll do this twist, and they're like, and this is what the bad guy's like. And halfway through that TV show, you're like, oh, I hope Kilgrave comes out of this okay. I hope he, you know, like, it's that kind of like, oh, he's been Darth Vader all along. Actually, his name is Anakin Skywalker. And then he helps out at the end, and, you know, and you got that kind of thing going, and you're like, how is this TV show making me think that this main bad guy, I kind of want to... You know, I want him to win. I want his character to resolve in a positive direction.
Yeah.
So,
he has good in him.
Yes. Also, we have Luke Cage turns up in this.
Yes.
And what I liked about this is that Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, both, one of them can't be hurt and is really strong, and the other one is just really strong or whatever. And they turn to each other and they're like, how did it happen to you? Ah, oh, an accident. How did it happen to you? Ah, oh, an experiment. And then they just move on. And it's like, yeah, that, to be honest, often that is all I need to know about a superhero. Like, where did you get your powers? Oh, it was an experiment that went wrong or whatever. And they're like,
yeah,
oh, great.
Okay.
And how did you get your... Oh, I was involved. There was an accident with dot, dot, dot. Don't even care about what the dot, dot, dot is. Why? I don't need to see the backstory. I don't need to see the origin story of all of these people.
I want to see a little bit of it, but I don't want a whole episode going in depth about it.
Like Luke Cage. Anyway, so let's move on.
In general, I really enjoyed Jessica Jones. I really enjoyed it that she's a strong woman.
Yeah.
And
But it seems so basic that that's what that's all it takes to impress us. But we don't see it so many other times.
Yes, of course we don't. And the whole struggle that she goes through, and it's just a really, really, really good show. I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's overall probably Jessica Jones season one and Daredevil season one, I think, are the two best of the four Netflix series that we saw.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I just read something. The main role, Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah.
It says here, she put on 10 pounds, 4.5 kilogram of muscle for the role.
Of course.
Just to look kind of...
I only knew her from Breaking Bad. She was Jesse's girlfriend in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, for very short...
No, she was in there. She was in there for like a half a season. So that's where I knew
her.
Death. You don't take spoilers for spoilers for Breaking Bad, which I still haven't seen the end of. I still need to see the last season.
I'm not going to go.
Okay, let's go to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season two. Oh, I went out of order. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. This all came out around about the same time.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season two, the fallout from Civil War, and then we kind of set it up, and we watched quite a lot of this in pretty quick order.
Yes.
About. And this leads up to after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 19, is Age of Ultron. And it was one of those things that when I watched Age of Ultron the first time, it started, like, after Civil War was the previous movie that we're talking about. Oh, no, Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's kind of a separate thing, so we don't need
that. Not
Civil War. Winter Soldier. At the end of Winter Soldier, Hydra is in S.H.I.E.L.D. Part of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra. Big fallout from that.
Yeah.
And then the next movie where the Avengers are, like Captain America and Avengers are, it's the Age of Ultron. And it's like, and they go into Sokovia and they're like, we're just mopping up the remains of Hydra. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. How can you be mopping up the remains of Hydra?
Yeah.
You just discovered Hydra was a thing in the previous movie. And then one movie later, or like Guardians of the Galaxy in between, but then one movie, you're just mopping up. It's like, oh, what happened to Hydra? And it's like, oh, all of
everything,
season two.
Everything in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, everything of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season two is, oh shit, Hydra is half of us a Hydra. We didn't know which one's a Hydra. Hydra this, Hydra that. Who is Hydra? And so you do get some, you know, you do continue on with Sky's story and you do continue on with Coulson's story and some fun stuff happens with Fitz and Simmons and some sad stuff happens with these other people. Ward is off doing his own thing over there, and you get some other characters coming in. What's her name? Bobby
and Hunter
and Bobby and Mac. And, you know, and these other characters that come in, that when they come in, you're like, oh, who are these guys? And they're like, oh, actually, they're real guys, you know.
So I have one thing that I'd like to say about this, like, after we've experienced all of that show. It kind of like, in German you have a saying that is, wer einmal lügt, dem glaubt man nicht, auch wenn dann die Wahrheit spricht.
And now in English.
Saying that if a person lies once, and even after that, that person speaks the truth again, you're not going to believe them.
Yeah.
Because how can you?
Yeah.
How can you decide what is lie, what is truth? And this is kind of like... That describes it all.
That describes pretty much
the entire series.
Yeah, the entire season is like, some people are lying, some people are not. Why are they lying? Is it because they're Hydra? Is it because this? Why is it like, what is above the board? What is below board?
So you're actually better off trusting the people who are lying because you know they're lying. And you can always think they're always lying.
Yeah.
Because then you're on the safe because you know they never tell the truth.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you really want them to actually then... Tell the truth and be what they say they are.
Yeah.
And then you get disappointed again and again and again and again.
But that's what it is. Every time one of these characters come on, they go, trust me. I want you to trust me. You're like, don't trust that person. Don't trust. And you know what?
Never trust anyone. never trust anyone.
What I wanted to say about this, and this was really clear watching this, compared to the earlier TV series and these other movies and stuff, coming back again, once again, to the female representation. In this movie, there was some whole, like 4 or 5 episodes in a row.
In the TV show.
Of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season two, where all of the people kicking ass for the good guys, all women. It was all women. It was Bobby, it was May, it was Sky, and there was some
Even Simmons.
Yeah, Simmons. Yeah, she wasn't kicking ass, but she was like one of the main characters. But she was the one who actually had the right idea in some cases. Where she's like, I'm going to kill this guy. And everyone's like, no, don't. And she's like, I should have killed that guy. And she's like, yeah, you should have killed that guy. I'm not saying all the bad guys were men, because there was Agent 37 or whatever her name was and some other things going on there. But it's like, yeah, why can't every TV show and every movie just go, okay, this character, male or female, flip a coin. And if you just keep doing that, you're going to get... It's going to be more interesting, you know.
Yeah, and it's good. And it's totally, it felt very natural. Yeah. It never felt like I was thinking about the setup. I was never thinking about the setup. I always just were with the people.
And they were doing stuff.
And they were doing stuff. And it
and
was
Rain
totally...
And Rain was there, and these other characters were there. And even characters where you'd think, oh, who's going to be the damsel in distress? It's like, oh, Hunter is going to be the damsel in distress. Or, you know, whatever's going on
in that way. It's just very well-balanced.
Yeah.
And you never question.
But also, more importantly, they never question it.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, that's a man fighting a woman. Of course, the man's going to be more
gentle.
Of course, the man's going to win because he's a man. It's like, no, these two are both professional athletes or stunt people or whatever you want to say, agents. Let's say, in the movie themselves, they're both they're agents. They're both trained by the same people to the same level.
Nobody's holding back.
And nobody's holding back. No. May can kick any man's ass. Bobby as well. Is it Bobby?
Yeah.
And she's like as tall as and big as most men. You're like, who's this?
Impressive.
And then you get when you do the flashbacks to some other characters where Xena, the warrior princess, turns up. I can't remember the actress's name, but she's there and you're like, well, she's kicking ass and stuff. So I just want to say I really do appreciate that when I see that. It's like when I was reading the... you read these books as well. The Ancillary Mercy and Ancillary Sword. No, what's it called? Ancillary Sword. Ancillary Sword, Ancillary Justice, Ancillary Mercy. When there, it's like because there's no gendered pronouns used, you never know if a character is male or female. The only time that you'll know it is if they actually say, oh, this character was... female because in a language she was called female and then she had a relationship with this person so that's probably male, you know, whatever. But it's just so refreshing just to go, oh, we don't have to worry about this.
Yes.
You know.
In those cases, I sometimes feel myself falling into presumptions.
Yeah.
Which then makes me realize more how our society is doing this to us.
Yeah.
So I often consciously want to avoid it, but sometimes I can't.
Yeah.
If I read something and then later on I realize, oh, that person actually had a dark color.
Yeah.
Dark color skin. I didn't realize how my brain puts myself into
agents,
that.
Yeah.
And how that person isn't described as a male or female, and I immediately put it as male.
Yeah.
So this
Well, actually, at the start of those books, I did.
Yeah.
But then once I got it like halfway through the book, I was just like, my brain just relaxes into it and just goes, you know what? It just doesn't matter. And in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 2, it gets to the point where I think there's only two white males as main characters for a big part of that, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody can be, you know, there's plenty of Asian characters and black characters and, you know, just generally.
It
doesn't matter. It all just works. And
This is so nice and relaxing.
Okay, I think we've got two movies to go. Oh, how long have we been recording? Oh, about an hour. But we've only got two movies to go and two episodes of TV show. So let's get on to Age of Ultron. This is one of the movies that we watched more recently. Do you remember anything about Age of Ultron?
I actually do remember. Yay.
Let me go to my...
Because we watched it two weeks ago.
So Age of Ultron, I saw this, it was in the cinema. And I was really disappointed that I saw this in the cinema because it just wasn't as good.
Yeah, you watch it by yourself. I didn't go.
Well, yeah, because I was like, hey, do you want to go and see this? I was like, yeah, but it won't really make sense. And there were some other people that I was thinking of going. And in the end, I just went. I was like, I'll just go and catch up with this movie by myself. And I shouldn't have because it wasn't worth the cinema ticket because it's just not very good, unfortunately. And this is the movie that after seeing Guardians of the Galaxy and after seeing Iron Man 3, which was like a much smaller movie, but you watch it and you go, that was very competently put together. Winter Soldier, very good action, interesting action with interesting characters and an interesting story. Everything that they needed to make another movie, as good as The Avengers, as good as Guardians, it's the same director as Avengers, it's the same actors and characters, it's the same script writers as all before, and they came up with Age of Ultron, which is just, to be honest, it wasn't as disappointing from the first time I saw it, because, you know, some of those plot holes were like, you know, when they're just like, and now we're mopping up Hydra. I'm like, where? And then the helicarrier comes and they're like, oh, we just had this in storage. And I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Where is that? By watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., some of these plot holes and some of these other things...
Get solved.
So it wasn't quite as... And also just watching it better and having seen, you know, Iron Man 3 and Iron Man 2 to know where some of these other characters come from, like War Machine and these other ones come from.
Yep.
Even though he's not in this movie very much. You know, he's at the party at the start and in the action sequence at the end.
Yeah.
But when you go... But in this movie, there's a thing with the mind control and then they're all having visions and then Thor goes off and he has a bath and he comes out the bath and is like, Infinity Stones. And you're like, what? Why are you talking? It's like it's a movie which was just made to wrap up a previous movie and then also made to set up later movies, but it didn't seem to do anything.
It's like a middle bit.
It's just like a middle part. But even... And this is what comes down to, like, all of these other bad guys in all these other movies. Forget about even the TV show bad guys where you can spend hours getting to know them and things like that. All of the time you think this is a bad guy who has got a lot of history. You know, Loki has a lot, you know, you see where he comes from and you know what he's doing. And even the other Hulk, you know, like the bad guys are kind of bad beforehand, or if they're not bad beforehand, you know that they've got some experience. You know that they're a real person.
Yeah.
In Age of Ultron, the bad guy is created from nothing.
Yeah.
A quarter of the way into the movie. And then is destroyed by the end of the movie. So you're like, he didn't feel like he had any weight to him.
No. He didn't.
He was just software and robots, and then you destroy all the robots and destroy the software, and you're like, and now he's gone again. You're like, well, it didn't feel satisfying as a villain there from the beginning.
No.
Like, there was a threat at the beginning, and then he's there.
Also, of course, it's like something that comes up in lots of movies. You have an artificial intelligence that looks through the history of humanity and comes to the conclusion, actually, humans are not worth anything because they're just destroying themselves. And I can see that. I can totally understand this.
Yeah.
I sometimes think about the humanity just in that way. But on the other hand, then that is always the stuff that the artificial intelligence concentrates on. I mean, we did actually had an example of artificial intelligence on Twitter where exactly that happened.
Oh yeah,
right.
It learned from all the Twitter accounts and then started being bad things,
like really terrible things. But
it literally became Hitler.
It literally became one of those movie monsters.
Yeah,
you know, like, so but. Because that happens in such a fraction of a time that a normal villain kind of develops his villain behavior. Yeah. There was always a trigger. Up until a certain point, there were good people or something. Yeah. And then there was something triggering. Okay.
Maybe with them a child.
Revenge or whatever. And that makes it more understandable. Right?
Yeah.
Because we can't really feel that, I'm born. I see all this. Everything needs to be destroyed.
Yeah, it just felt a bit too... Even though, actually, I really liked when, you know, the visualizing Jarvis's brain and then Ultron's brain. That was, I was like, oh, this is actually quite interesting. Look, you can see the things and the synapses and they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that whole scene, it's purely special effects, but it's like a consciousness coming to life. And you're just like, oh, this is really interesting. I'd like to see how this develops. And it literally, 10 seconds later, well, I'm a bad guy and I'm going to take over. And you're just like, oh, was that it? You know, I understand what you mean. Like, even at the start of that scene, which was a very short scene with Jarvis and Ultron, you're like, ooh, it would have taken
one or two scenes to see while they were doing this that Ultron mind
started off good
somewhere else developed like a child, you know, grew up kind of.
If it had started off as Jarvis 2, like there's Jarvis the Tony Stark's computer program, and then it's like, oh, Ultron is very much like this, but suddenly gets more powerful, and they're like, oh, this is great, it's working, the plan is working for a while, and then they make some robots.
It never went into the right direction.
No, it was just like straight up. But there was so much other stuff going on, like I say, with the mind control, with the Inhumans, which again, I when the movie came along, I was like, who are these guys? Who are these twins? But then obviously watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're like, oh, at least we know where these people come from.
Yeah,
you know. So my notes about this was, oh yeah, so. The end of this movie kind of fails as a superhero team ending movie. What I liked at the end of The Avengers, even though aliens invading New York, it's been done many times, it's a bit, you know, whatever, say what you want about the plot holes at the end there. Yeah. But you have all of the different characters doing different things. Hawkeye is like, you know, Captain America goes, right, we're a team, but we all have different skills. Hawkeye, go to the top of that building. You keep an eye on everything. You direct us what's going on.
Yeah.
Hulk, smash. Tony Stark, take out the people in the air. Thor, catch these people going that far. We'll try and keep the fight here on this overpass. Like, you know, Captain America stays there with Black Widow and stuff like that. And they've all got a different role.
Yeah.
They all have different skills, so they're all doing different things. Guy in the sky, eyes in the sky, flying around, smashy, keeping down. Captain America kind of directing it, saying, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that. Great. What happens at the end of Age of Ultron is that they're in this church, and the climactic scene of this battle is hordes of robots coming in, and Captain America smashes a robot. The Hulk smashes a robot. Vision, this new character, smashes a robot. Black Widow punches a robot. All they are doing, each one, you know, Iron Man smashing a robot, War Machine smashing a robot. Like, all it happens is that they all just come in and they're just punching robots in the face.
Yeah.
None of them had a special job by the end of it. It even got to the point where Hawkeye was like, look, we're on a flying city being invaded by robots, and I'm a guy with a bow and arrow. It doesn't make any sense. And I was like, you know what?
It doesn't
make any sense. But in Avengers, the first Avengers movie, it kind of did make sense that there was aliens invading and you were in New York and you had a bow and arrow, because having a bow and arrow is what you are, but it's not your job.
Yes.
Whereas in the second movie, it was like, it didn't matter who people are or what their job was. It was like, well, Thor's got a hammer, so I guess he's going to hit someone with a hammer, and Iron Man can fly, so I guess there's that. But everyone else was just like, and we're punching robots, and we're punching robots, and we're punching robots. And it even got to the point where, like, Hawkeye, there was like this kid, and this kid needed saving, and he was like, well, I guess my job is I've got to go and save the kid because I'm not flying around smashing robots.
Yes.
So I'll go and save. And it felt like people were like disappointed with their skills and their abilities as team members and things like that. So, yeah.
But also, like, it wasn't like he needed abilities. What he needed was actually like a...
Something to do?
No, but he needed like a big, like, how do you call these big, like things that shoot off loads of arrows at the same time? Like the... I don't know how you call it.
Like a magazine, a gun magazine, but for arrows.
Yeah, yeah. This is kind of what he needed, right? I mean,
yeah.
A single guy with bow and arrow.
But so, for the rest of the movie, he seemed like he had a job. Like, it felt like, oh, he's doing... Like, Hawkeye was like, he was the guy who didn't get mind control and kind of kept the team together and was like kind of the... Like, he felt like a bit more of the heart of the movie in the middle there. You know, we meet his family and stuff. Spoilers. We meet his family. But it's sort of like, overall, it just was like, it just, like, the whole end of the... Like, again, all of these different things. Like, at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, even though it's just a battle in space, everyone's got a job. You know, this guy's going to do this. Yeah. Groot is going to do that.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt's going to have a dance-off. The other people... I mean, just the dance-off at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hilarious.
It's hilarious because he holds out and he's like, dance-off. And then, what is it? You know, Gamora comes up and held the hand. And then Drax the Destroyer comes out and holds the hand. Yeah. And then this little paw comes up not from the side of the screen, but from the bottom of the screen. And it's hilarious, but so touching because you're like, all of these people are different. They're all doing different things. And at the end... of Guardians, at the end of Age of Ultron, it's just like that. So, main bad guy is Tony Stark. Ultron's there, but really Tony Stark is the main bad guy of this, which, spoilers, comes in a bit more in Civil War, which you've not seen, but sort of like people being irresponsible with their powers and other people going, hey, are you sure you... Like, that is actually a fun moment in this movie where they're like, we've created... an evil AI that's taken over the world with all these robots, and then it's like, to fight this, hey, let's do that again, and all the rest of the characters are like, no, don't. But there is a funny scene with a hammer later on, which pays off the funny scene with the hammer earlier.
It does.
I really like it when they're all trying to pick up the hammer, and Captain America picks up the hammer, and it kind of moves slightly, and Thor's
reacting to that.
So my comments on this one, I've lost my notes, here we go. Comments from Juliana. You said, I was saying Jarvis, previously in another movie, I'd said that's Paul Bettany is the voice of Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns up in this one.
Does he?
Vision.
Oh,
I wanted to say that. That is Paul Bettany in
that
one as well.
But don't really see him.
Well, you do see it, but like, if you know who he is, but you recognize his voice as we go through. So that wasn't a comment by you, but I was just going to mention that. Comments from Julia Anna. No, he didn't make any comments, really.
He didn't write anything down.
No, you made some comments, but not good comments. Stan Lee cameo, he's an army veteran getting drunk at the party. And Overall, I say probably on the same level as the least good main movies.
Oh, that guy.
But it's still way better than Hulk. So this doesn't get the title of... I think it gets the title of the worst non-Hulk movie. Just
yeah,
because
the second...
It's not. Just... I mean, it's way, 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 way better than the Hulk movie, but it's like, it's low... Like, of all these other movies where we say, oh, this was good, like, you know, Iron Man 2, which is like, well, I guess that was an okay-ish movie. This is slightly below an okay-ish movie. It's just kind of... just felt too mediocre to be such a massive movie with, like I say, all the talent that went into this. Why couldn't it be as good as Civil War or Winter Soldier, or, you know, the first Avengers movie, or Guardians of the Galaxy, or even Ant-Man, which is coming up in a minute. Right, we've got two more TV shows to talk about very quickly.
Yes.
Which we have here. Let me scroll down. We have Daredevil Season 2, which I really enjoyed the comment, or the, I think it was even just the episode title on the Incomparable podcast, where they said, diminishing ninja returns. So as you add more ninjas, the TV show doesn't get better. As you add more ninjas, the TV show gets worse. Because this is a movie where I really enjoyed Frank Castle, the Punisher. Good fun. No problem with him at all. Vincent D'Onofrio comes back for like one or two episodes. Also some good fun stuff there as well. The politics of it, good stuff. Stick comes back in, great. Elektra comes back in, fine, whatever. Not fantastic, but okay, we'll go with that. What I really like about this is that you said before, the relationship between the law firm with Foggy and... still can't remember the other character's name because it's been a while since we watched this one.
I'm sure I can figure it out.
But the law firm, I actually think that's one of the main protagonists, because it's always about, like, is Daredevil a lawyer with partners?
Yeah.
Or is he a vigilante hero, crime fighter?
Yeah, kind of goes against each other.
And they go against each other. And you think, oh, how's it? And spoiler, the law firm doesn't survive. And you're like, but these were a team. This was a good team all the way through this. But you have to break the team. It can't just be, hey, we're all a happy family. It all works. You know what? It doesn't work. Things go bad in this way. Relationships
Karen
go bad.
Karen Page, that's her name.
Karen Page, yes. Page, that's what they used to say. So there are some good moments in this. I think this is actually a really good season, except for it gets a bit stupid with the ninjas. Like, it's because in the end, they're not even ninjas. They're like zombie ninjas, which, again, it's kind of fun in some ways, but there's just too many of them. And then the big showdown at the end, you're just like, you know what? I don't know how they could have made it better, but just like when it was one ninja, when it was just Lee from the first season.
Yeah, also it was like really worth something to
fight.
To
he was a worthy opponent.
Win.
Yeah.
Yeah, like winning against, it's good. If you win against one of hundreds.
40 ninjas, You're like, you're like, oh, I thought he was a meaningful opponent. But then when you defeat 40 of them at the same time, you're like, well, I guess he wasn't that, like, he almost killed you in the first season. But then when more of them turn up, they're less good. So there are some elements to that ninja story, which I like. But yeah, diminishing ninja returns. I totally agree with the Incomparable episode title on that one. You wanted to talk about Frank Castle? Oh, it's funny because we were talking about watching Castle, the other Castle.
Yeah.
What's the other Castle called? The TV show.
Richard Castle.
Yeah, it was funny that we switched from Richard Castle in when at the same time watching Daredevil, and then we got Frank Castle.
Yes.
What did you want to say about Frank Castle?
Oh, yeah, Frank Castle. One second, I just want to find...
He's getting his own TV show.
Here. Oh, yeah, okay. Just wanted to look up the actor in this one.
Bernthal. Yes.
I'm guessing.
Wow, that only took us like 2 minutes of searching on the internet to find him.
That guy came up in another Netflix show that I watched without you, and I think you should watch it as well.
What's that called?
That was called Sense8.
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 Produced by the Wachowskis.
Yes. And it is, you have to be strong and to get into it. It's like, I think it's over the top sexual things.
Oh,
but,
really?
But I think, like, the message. Yeah, but message of that whole thing is good, and he's amazing in that.
Okay,
he's a really, really good actor.
I'm just looking now.
He's really good.
As of yesterday, you can download episodes onto your phone. You can download Netflix series.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a look at Sense Let's search for that. Sense8 and see, because it's a Netflix original, I think we could probably I could probably download it, because that's the way it's working. Because you're like, Netflix, how do you get the licenses to do all these downloads? It's like, turns out if they produce it themselves, they don't need their own licenses.
Oh, it's not mentioned on his Wikipedia list.
Yeah. What?
Sense8.
Sense8? Well, maybe he's a character. Oh, yeah. Look, I can download that. So I will download that. Did you watch all the way through to the end of Sense8?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, that's enough about that. I'm so glad that we spent 3 minutes looking up this one guy just to say he's in this one of the TV shows.
Sorry, but no problem. It's worth mentioning.
He gets his own TV show in the future. And finally, oh no, two more things. Let's quickly go Luke Cage. This is the only TV show where the main character is known as Luke Cage. Like, he doesn't have another identity. He's Luke Cage, and his superhero name is
Luke Cage.
It's the hero for hire. Did you enjoy Luke Cage? This is the latest one that you heard.
I very much enjoyed it.
I really like this good one.
Sometimes I struggle understanding.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth it. It's totally, it's not made for me. It's made for all the people in Harlem, kind of. This is how it feels like.
It is a lot of fun. Again, it's great to see different representations, except for white male people. Unfortunately, the Iron Fist, who is, I always thought was like a ninja guy, well, not ninja guy, like, but like kung fu guy, is going to be played by white American male.
Yeah.
Straight male. Anyway, but like Luke Cage, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Cottonmouth. What are you looking up?
I just found the guy who's playing in Sense8. He looks kind of similar.
Oh, it isn't the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
So you thought it was the same guy?
I thought it was the same guy. It's not the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
Anyway.
Well, I also get
the other one is also good.
What I like about Luke Cage is that there is a little bit of interplay with the other characters. You know, I do like it, again, that a lot of the, super soldier thing, super soldier this, still, it's like Luke Cage is another super soldier experiment, which normally only Captain America it works on, but here it kind of worked a bit better and stuff. It's a different kind of thing. The island prison that they're on, I think, is the same island prison as the All Hail the King was in.
It is.
I think
it is
that
same
little one shot thing there. And I do. I normally I don't mind going back and seeing a bit of backstory, origin story. Mm. Episode 4 of Luke Cage was utter garbage, because we go back and see, here he was in prison here and he's being experimented on. Like, everything that I liked about that TV show in the first 3 episodes, the music was great, the bad guys were great, like the police procedural stuff as well. What was her name? Misty.
Who
was, and the other guy, the other, her partner as well. You've got the counselor, you've got the councilwoman, sorry. You've got all of these different characters, all really great. And then they all just disappear and we get a bit of his backstory. And I'm like, well, we see a bit of Shades, but otherwise it's just terrible. And we get it. We get his backstory, and then the next episode it gets good again, and the music is back, and they're in the club, and as everything's happening, it's really good fun. I was just like, why did we have to see that?
We didn't need it.
Well, actually, later on, we did meet those characters again.
Yes,
and
we did.
We did need to know that backstory, but it could
have been just like sprinkled in the other episodes.
It could have been like we watched 40 minutes of backstory where we actually needed about 5 minutes of that. So. Yeah. If you get through it, like Luke Cage, not a perfect movie, not a perfect TV show. It does get a bit silly, especially at the end where Diamondback turns up and things. I mean, it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. A little, sometimes a bit violent, but it's kind of like different kind of violence than the previous ones. Less
also,
blood.
Also, he's always kind of avoiding the, like at the beginning at least.
Yeah.
At some points, he then decides, okay, I'm just going down this path. What's the guy? The guy always pop.
Yeah.
Always says
one foot ahead of the
always
other.
Always forward.
Yeah. Always forward.
Never backwards.
Cottonmouth is suitably dangerous as well. But yeah, I just really enjoyed it. Method Man turning up at the end and doing a rap, and I was just like, I was almost in tears watching that. I was just like, oh, this is so good.
This is so good. Also, there's this thing that like, what were they saying? The black guy in the hoodie.
Yeah.
And
totally reclaiming black guy in a hoodie.
Yeah.
It's so political.
It is.
And
it
that's
is.
That's kind
it's,
of why
it's
that's
kind
why,
of why I like it so yeah, much.
That's
as well.
Why that and that point, like second to last episode, like I say, when Method Man does the freestyle rap and and it's all these scenes of men in Harlem walking around in
and
hoodies.
Then suddenly
and
you have like
reclaiming that as a
and
good thing.
Everyone is Everyone is a target, and
it's a movie. It's a movie about like community organizing in black communities.
Yeah,
and white cop on black man violence and all of those different kind of things. It's all in there. But really, it's also just a fun superhero vigilante.
Yeah, he's great. I like Luke Cage. Also, he's like this big, like, teddy bear kind of like...
Yes. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. It's like you really want to give him a hug.
Yeah, you do. But what I want to say is that actually, like Coulson, kind of seemed to... Like, I'm not saying that Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, he is good. He is good. He's certainly not the best actor in there. You know, like in Jessica Jones holds up as a strong character with a really good act. And even Matt Murdock, what was his name? The guy who plays him... Can't remember. Anyway, he's like one of the strongest actors. I think Mike Coulter is probably only the seventh or eighth best actor in Luke Cage, the TV show.
Yes.
But also, he doesn't have a lot to do. He starts off good. He doesn't want to hurt anyone. He doesn't want to kill anyone. He's good. And he's kind of like that all the way through. We find out stuff about him and we find out more about him. But his character doesn't have a huge amount of depth, even compared to some of the other characters in there. Like when we meet the... like say Cottonmouth and these other characters around him, like we need to get to know more about them. Like, I'm not saying that they've got more depth or but there's kind of more going on there, and those other actors have to do more than Mike Coulter does as Luke Cage. It's fine, he carries it, but like it's just one of the things that like he just becomes a different kind of hero, a different kind of, you know, he has to carry a different weight in the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Even, like I say, all of the cops are better actors than him. All of the bad guys are better actors than him. Like, you know, what's the nurse? Who plays the nurse again? I can't remember her
Claire
name.
Claire Temple.
Yeah, Claire Temple. But the
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, also very good. So let's move on. We are moving on. Actually, it says here Phase 3 ends at Season 10. So Episode 10 of Season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we didn't start Season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But we did watch Ant-Man.
So let's finish off with Ant-Man. That's the last movie of Phase 2 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Let's go over and look at my notes here. My note is, wow, what a huge step up from Age of Ultron. This is the first movie in this entire watch-through that I hadn't seen before. For some reason, didn't see it in the cinema. Oh, I think by that point...
We wanted to see it, but we were already in the watching...
No, it wasn't, because it came out last year, and I was like, oh, I've heard this is good, but then I was busy, because it came out late last year, and I was like, oh, well, I'm busy, and we'll find a time to see it, and then it didn't, and then we're like, oh, we'll watch it on Netflix, it never came out on Netflix, oh, we'll watch it on Blu-ray or DVD or something, so in the end, we got the Blu-ray, and we watched it, and this is really, really funny. Yeah. It's really good fun and funny, and I was talking about these, you know, these every frame a painting or whatever it's called, and these nerd writer things, and they've done some, we were talking about the music and things before, but one of them was about comedy in Marvel movies, in that what they do, the action isn't that funny, like the action isn't funny, but they have people doing funny lines, and the interaction between the characters is funny, the lines are funny, the actors are funny, but actually they're not doing funny action.
Yes.
Like in, and they said, well, here is Jackie Chan doing action. And it's just funny because he is a comic actor. He's a clown actor.
It's about the physical comedy.
Yeah, physical comedy.
Yeah.
But also, like, the situations that he finds himself in is funny. It's not like, oh, a bad guy and a good guy and a bad guy, they're punching each other. The punching isn't funny and the fight isn't funny. But they say some funny lines along the way. Doesn't make it a comedy movie. It just makes it into an action adventure movie with some comedy.
Yes.
And some of the best examples that they use from that is like, here is Edgar Wright. And they look at, you know, the Hot Fuzz and the Shaun of the Dead and, you know, Scott Pilgrim. And they're like, if these guys are doing action in a funny way, like the camera moves are funny, the situations are funny, the action is funny, and it brings out the character. And then you watch Ant-Man, which was originally, like the script was by Edgar Wright, and he was going to direct it originally. And then he didn't want to direct, I don't even know the situation. But when you come up with the script writers, the script writer is like Edgar Wright, Joe Cornish, who also is a British comedian, Paul Rudd, who's the main star, and someone else as well. And you go, oh, that movie has got a lot of really good, funny comedy roots. Like, even if the final director isn't known for comedy movies, actually, I don't know which the director is, but Edgar Wright's fingerprints are all over this movie. And and you can tell because the situations that they find themselves in are funny. Like the whole fight sequence at the end.
Yes.
it's just really funny. Like there's Ant-Man shrinking and growing, but just the situations, what things shrink and grow, and all these different kind of things. You're just like, this has been thought out as a comedy movie first, which happens to be a heist movie and also with some fun action in it.
Yes.
But all of the action feeds into the comedy. All of the heist stuff feeds into the comedy. Even the bad guy, in a way, feeds into the comedy because he's such an overblown, like a pathetic hero. Okay? Well, not pathetic, but like a pathetic villain in a way that you're just like, oh, like that. You can't even take him seriously as a villain. Hank Pym. Is very funny as Hank Pym. He's like this quirky inventor guy. And I didn't realize, because I've never seen Ant-Man, I've never read any of the comics or anything like that, but he was the original Ant-Man back in the 1950s or 60s, yes, whenever it was meant to be, or 70s. And then Paul Rudd, it's like, yeah.
1989, scientist Hank Pym resigns from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Oh, yes, it was 80s.
Discovering
Agent Carter,
their attempt to replicate the Ant-Man,
yeah,
shrinking technology.
Yeah, so it starts off with, hey, Ant-Man technology, we're going to hide this. And then they're like, oh, we need this, like, we need to destroy this, whatever. It's a heist movie. And I liked it that it was small scale again. It was like, I really like it at the beginning when Paul Rudd first comes in and explains the situation. He's like, I know what to do. I have a plan. What's your plan? Let's call the Avengers. And Hank Pym's like, no, we can't do that. Like, we've got to deal with it. Just the few of us have got to deal with it.
Yes.
Also, so many times the love interest is just a love interest, just a damsel in distress. Totally not that in this movie.
Nope.
And when I say the love interest, you know that they're going to kiss. And most of these other movies, like the moment when they kiss or the moment where there's an attraction is going to be like this meaningful here. In this movie, they just go, you know what would be really funny is if this happens off screen.
Yes.
You know, and the way it's revealed is funny. We know it's going to happen. We don't even need to say
No, and it's funny.
Like,
and also it was already set up by another joke.
Yes.
So the whole situation makes it more funny because we know we have been through this situation with another joke before.
Yes. Like it was a joke before, we're going to do it, and then they leave and you're like, when is the moment, like when is that climactic moment going to be happening where they're going to get together and they're going to kiss at the end of the movie? And we both knew what was going on. It's like, now, this is it, and we're not seeing it. And it's much funnier that we're not
seeing
it now. It's sort of like, well, of course they're gonna, like it just plays on the trope that of course they're gonna be kissing by the end of the movie and stuff like that.
But not only that, what I also think about this movie is that it sets up again as nothing to do with superpowers. It's this guy, and it starts as off like there's several other movies who are like, we have a pretty good looking guy, and he stole stuff from the good guy, from the bad.
He's a Robin
company.
Hood kind of guy.
A Robin Hood kind of guy. And the way this whole movie starts is just so funny. And you have these funny characters, this trio of bandits. I know you like.
Yeah, there's Lewis and.
Hilarious.
And the Russian guy. No, I don't even know where he's from.
The
three
guys are so funny.
And the way that Lewis is talking about, and then I said this, and he said this, and that, and I said that, and then
Lewis. And Dave and it doesn't say. Yeah, but these like
IMDb
just a combination of it, and then they tell how they got to know about that there's something to steal, and then you already suspect.
Yeah, is that really going? Anyway, I think it's very good. I do like it where they go, oh, there's this old abandoned warehouse that we can find this thing is, and they get there and it's the building that you see being built at the end of Age of Ultron where like the new Avengers facility and they get there and go, oh, shit, when was this built? And he has to fight Falcon, which I didn't even know Falcon was going to be in this movie.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, that is actually really
good.
That's really good that Ant-Man has to do this thing, and they're like, who are you? I'm Ant-Man. They're like... Really? What are you? And he's, but also when he meets him, he's like, oh, I'm a big fan. I saw you in Washington. Like, you know.
No offense here, but I just need to go in there.
So, anyway, Ant-Man, let's quickly look at my notes, which I wrote about this. Main bad guy. There's actually two good guys. There's Hank Pym and Paul Rudd. Can't remember the other guy's name. What's his name? Let me quickly. Scott Lang. So Scott Lang is the main guy, main good guy, and Hank Pym is the main good guy. And then the main bad guy is the opposite of both of those things.
Yes, but also Scott Lang is not by default a good guy.
No, he's just a guy.
Yes, but he's the whole thing starts of him being in prison.
Yeah,
like he's.
It's
like,
more
again,
interesting.
It's more interesting because good is not always perfectly good and white all the way around.
Yeah. And you understand that, like, one of the other characters, which I actually really like is this, is the new boyfriend of his ex-wife, which is the policeman. And you're like, oh, that actually works well. And, you know, the interplay of him, like, criminal on the run, on probation, the police are looking out for him.
Ex-wife.
Ex-wife kind of go. Yeah. Comments from Juliana, ants are creepy. Yes, ants are creepy. That keychain. Oh, no, I said that one, didn't I? So it's sort of like when there was the keychain that he picks up and it had a little toy tank
on it. Yeah, the tank. Yeah. You picked up
and
that.
And then at the end, we were like, we saw this backstory bit with the wasp.
Yep.
And you were like, she's going to be the new wasp, like the daughter.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, I kind of already knew that. Well, I didn't already know that. I knew that the next Ant-Man movie, because it was on this list, is called Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right.
So I wasn't sure if the Wasp was going to be a bad guy or a good guy or whoever the Wasp was going to be. I literally had no idea. But then as soon as we saw that thing with Hank Pym and the Wasp, and Hank Pym's wife was the Wasp, and I was like, well, I know who in this next movie who is going to be this.
Yeah.
Stan Lee cameo, he's in the montage at the end, voiced over by Lewis. You know, when they're saying, and this person goes here, and this person, like, and he's doing all the voices, and that kind of amazing scene. Overall, I said, funnier than Guardians of the Galaxy. Probably doesn't have the same rewatchability as Guardians of the Galaxy, but, you know, it is up there.
I will definitely want to watch it again.
I will definitely watch Ant-Man again. Once it comes onto Netflix or something for free, we'll watch it.
Yeah.
Next up, it says, more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 than Civil War. And, I made a note here. I watched Civil War in the cinema, but I needed the toilet so badly in the middle part of the movie. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go. And I went out for the toilet. And as I came back in, I saw them meeting up. There was like the end of a scene with a car and they were meeting up with Paul Rudd. And I was like, I know he's Ant-Man, but I don't know anything about Ant-Man. And then there's this whole action sequence and Ant-Man plays kind of a pivotal role in this sequence. And I was like, oh, I kind of guess. So everything that I needed to know about Ant-Man was in there. But now at least I know like some of those things. I was like, actually know like the backstory. So, so Ant-Man is good to see it this time. Pretty good. So that comes as, we did also watch Doctor Strange, but that's next, we'll watch that again later on when we talk about these movies later on.
Yeah,
we can
and
watch
we also
that again.
Will start season 3
of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I think that's enough. We've gone through, it's an hour and a half, so yes, it was a little bit more than an hour, but there was no way we could have done these two episodes within one episode.
No.
But it was good to do this. I just want to say a few things that, like, how these things, how it worked watching these things together. I actually have really enjoyed doing this marathon. It does make the movie, the weaker movies are better having watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And also, of course, I think watching some of these Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is better, having already watched some of the movies. So it's really difficult to know which order. Should you just watch all the way through the movies and then go through the TV shows? And yeah, it could be better if you'd seen some of the TV shows. But also, just watching through in order, if I hadn't seen Winter Soldier, I'm not sure I'd have kept going through that first series of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I just knew what was going to happen. I knew something interesting was going to happen in the future of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I feel really sad. I feel really sorry for people who are watching it in real time as it was going on, because I'm like, that is just, it just, that first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you've got to know what happens in Winter Soldier to know it's worth going on to see what the fallout's going to be and how it's going to go on as well. So there's some. And also in that second season, when other things were being introduced and Hydra was like, they were kind of getting on top of Hydra. I was like, oh, this is a bit weird. But I already knew that in Age of Ultron, Hydra was on its last leg, you know.
Yes.
So it's one of those weird things, only knowing more about it. But maybe that's what it's like reading comics, that you always know what these different characters are. Like, all of these characters are being introduced to me as I go through, you know.
Are they still making these comics?
Yeah, all the comics are still being printed, you know.
Okay.
I think movies are a bigger business than the comics now, but...
But they're not like... printing the old versions, they are still writing new comics.
It's all the new stuff being created all the time. And yeah, and that's another thing that I do enjoy, the way that it plays together. Like in the beginning of Daredevil, they're like, oh, after the incident, this is all taking place 2 years after the incident. And what is the incident? They're like, well, that's the Avengers. The Avengers movie happened. And now they're having to rebuild all these buildings in Midtown New York. And that's part of it. The construction companies and stuff, like getting business there. With Kingpin. No, not Kingpin. What's his name? Donofrio. Fisk. That's right. Fisk. And all those different kind of... They all play into each other, you know. And when people are like at the beginning of... Luke Cage. They're like, "Hey, we got some new HD footage of the incident in Sokovia, or the incident in Washington." You know, these other things. I do enjoy how they play into each other. I think I kind of enjoy those Netflix series, how they play into the main sequences a little bit better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is too close to the action, you know.
Yes.
It's like...
Also kind of influencing it.
Yeah, they influence stuff that happens in the movies, and the movies influence them a bit more than the other ones. But yeah, overall, I've really enjoyed this. Some highlights for me have been some of the Netflix series and some of the movies. Low lights have been some of the movies and some of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I don't think any of the best of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes close to the best of the Netflix series. But we just spend more time with these characters.
Yes,
the Netflix series are 12, 13 episodes long. Each movie is like 2 hours long. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like 22 episodes of 45 minutes long. So we just spend more time with those characters. They do kind of overwhelm some of the others in the strength, like, or just how much time you spend with them.
Yeah.
Even though I do think they're weaker characters and the storytelling is weaker. But it is getting, it definitely gets better. In season two,
it is getting better.
Everything
better
in season two is better than pretty
and
much
I'm
everything
kind
of in season one of Agents
seeing
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That the changes that we're going to face
in season, three.
Season three.
Well, we'll start season three
never
next
get
year.
The team back together as it was once.
It's that's actually funny when near the end of season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are like, "Hey, it's us guys again. We were all together in episode one of season one." Then we're like, "Yeah, how long's that going to last?" Not long. So anyway, that's pretty good. Yeah, we don't need to get onto Doctor Strange. Although I do recommend people watch it. Any highlights for you? What's your highlight of this whole viewing thing? Do you have a highlight?
One outstanding highlight.
Yeah.
I still think just Guardians of the Galaxy
is really good, isn't it?
Because it has so many likable.
Yeah.
Characters in it.
I think you're going to like Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
Because it's a...
Coming? So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's like
and then,
19
yeah.
episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you want, we could just watch it straight away and then watch the other ones out of order. But I'm enjoying watching it through
in
the chronological
quite a nice,
order.
Quite
so
like
we'll
it.
Get to that one soon. Yep, I quite like it. Best, I think some of the best action scenes are in Winter Soldier. I think the funniest one is Ant-Man.
Yes.
Overall, probably the most enjoyable one is Guardians of the Galaxy. And but like I say, I just enjoyed going through the process.
It's nice.
Enjoyed.
Yes.
Like there is no like what is the unit of entertainment? So often, like one movie is one unit of entertainment, but a TV show, like if it's not one of these long running ones, like you know, there's like when we're talking about Castle before, it's sort of like each episode is pretty much one unit of entertainment, 45 minutes, and you're out again the other side. And here with this TV, with this whole watch through, this has been one unit of entertainment, which has taken me, you know, 4 days of TV, like four. What does that say on that spreadsheet? It actually says, doesn't it? It says, if you watch all of this, 5 days, 21 hours and 36 minutes. We've not done that because we didn't watch Agent Carter or these other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. seasons. But we've done days and days worth of MCU watching. And I've just enjoyed being, that is, phase one was one unit of entertainment. Phase two has been one unit of entertainment.
Yeah.
And
I
it's some of the
like,
biggest units of entertainment I've ever consumed by TV.
I also like that they have all these different formats playing in this one universe.
Yes.
This makes so much sense. Like, you're not just creating, you're not coming up with a universe. It kind of feels like Peter F. Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know, you create a universe, you create a world, you create characters and how things work in it.
Yeah.
And then you playing it in one book or one story.
Yeah, like he can do a short story, he can do a novel, he can do a series of novels, he can do three novels
and
together,
he can
do two novels.
Do trilogies in the same way, in the same universe, and then put another book out in the same. And I think that's just very good use of the creativity.
And I know it all comes in, and lots of different directors and lots of different writers and lots of different actors and lots of different creative people have all had input into it.
Yeah.
And I know in a way that kind of makes... couldn't come back to Age of Ultron. That's what made it so disappointing. You're like, oh man, you had all of this.
Yeah.
You had all of this and you made that movie. Whereas so many of the movies, you're like, okay, that had an identity as its own thing. Or like, this was this creator's vision of what this is going to be. Okay, so Juliana is yawning. We've gone on a bit too long on this one, but I think we've got a lot out of this. Hopefully people have enjoyed this special holiday episode. It's the first of Nativity. We opened a Nativity calendar door. And we got some candles on the table in front of us.
Is that how you call it?
Nativity. No, not Nativity.
Isn't it Advent?
Advent. Nativity is something completely different.
Yeah.
It's the first day of Advent. Yeah. December 1st. So let's call this our special Christmas episode. I've got some other episodes of books that I finished that I need to review. Otherwise, that's about it.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow Juliana on Twitter. She's J-U-K-U Berlin. Yuku Berlin, a bit of her name. I'm Luke Burridge on Twitter. I'm Luke Burridge at Instagram. I'm Luke Burridge on YouTube if you want to follow my vlogging there as well. I'm email me luke@juggler.net. And also become our friends on goodreads.com. We don't always talk about movies, would you believe? We mostly talk about books. So Goodreads is a good place to find us. And join the SFBRP listener group if you want to comment and recommend any books to me. Anything else, Juliana?
No, that's
so. See you guys again in at the end of 2019, where we wrap up MCU Phase 3. Maybe
so long 19.
Well, I think it says here. Let's just quickly look here on if we look upcoming. So upcoming, it says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Iron Fist, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Spider-Man: Homecoming, Inhumans, don't know what they are, Thor: Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers: Infinity War, Ant-Man 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Untitled Avengers film, Untitled Avengers film, Untitled Avengers film, Untitled Avengers film. So there's, yeah, November 6, 2020. But I think the Untitled Avengers film is the one that wraps it up. So May 3rd, we'll see you all again in May 3rd, 2019 to wrap up Phase 3.
How do you know that this is Phase 3 wrapping up?
Because I saw it somewhere else. Phase 3 ends with the end of the next Avengers movie.
Okay.
Infinity War, I guess, is the Infinity Gauntlet, you know, with Thanos.
That's all of them together.
That's two movies. So there's Infinity War number one and Untitled Avengers film, I think, is the second. So I think that's when it wraps up. So see you guys again in May 2019 for more Marvel Avengers MCU talk.
Right.
That's it. See you later.
Bye.